Okay, this morning, we're looking at our scripture from 2 Peter chapter 1, 8 through 15, growing in faith. As I looked at this particular passage of scripture, I thought of different titles that I could call it. One would be growth in Christian virtue is one, and then Peter talks about life and death. And as we read the scripture, or as I go through it this morning, you will understand from Peter's perspective what he was experiencing in his own life. And when Jesus was here and Jesus ministered alongside Jesus, and now he's giving the people in the church encouraging them to be steadfast and to look to the Word of God for instruction. Because I can, as I read this passage of Scripture, I can see some of Paul's thinking of the things that he neglected when he was being led by Jesus Christ, and different things that, you know, he should have done and then he didn't. And one of those was he denied Christ. And then in Jesus' conversation with Peter, Peter said, you know, I'll follow you wherever you go. I will do whatever you command. And then Jesus said, you know, you will follow me in death as well. Because Jesus said, anyone who follows me will also suffer for the sake of me. So, but that's a good thing, though. That's a positive thing in serving the Lord. We know we're not alone. And we know that he is interceding for us in all of our needs and all of our cares and everything that we experience in this life. And so believers have a precious and wonderful promise from God for our life now and for the future. And the Apostle Peter, or Simon Peter, he is expressing this to the believers in and to us as well. But believers also have a responsibility to God. Each Christian is responsible for his or her growth, what I would say, in Christ's likeness. We all want to imitate or be like Christ in our life, in our obedience, and in our faith. And we say, well, that's very difficult. Well, yes, it's difficult to follow in the footsteps of Jesus the way that he was in obedient in every way. But that is our responsibility as Christians. We should not neglect that at all. And we can't justify it, or we can't pass it off and say, well, I'm human, and Jesus was human and divine. But we have the power through the Holy Spirit to help us to reach that area in our life where we need to work on it the most. So when we look at the passage of Scripture this morning, Peter urges his fellow Christians to demonstrate the reality of their own standing with God by growing in the areas outlined in the previous verses 5 through 7. And I wasn't going to read those, but just quickly here, let's look at those 5 through 7. Because this kind of gives us a prerequisite for the rest of the scripture beginning at 8. So look with me in verse 5. I do not have that on the screen, so just look in your Bibles there. And Peter says, now for this very reason also applying all diligence. And I talked about this last week, the diligence that Peter is talking about here in Peter's. This Peter is about diligence, steadfastness. So in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge. So he's talking about knowledge, and we gain knowledge, and we apply that and turn that into wisdom and make good choices. So, and in your knowledge, self-control. In your self-control, perseverance. And in your perseverance, then all of that leads right up to what Peter says right here, godliness. Godliness. And then verse 7, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. Paul says, faith, love, what is the greatest of all? Love. Okay, so as we look at what Peter is saying here, in this, and Peter is being enthusiastically in the Lord, and he's talking about the eternal kingdom. And if you want to read about the eternal kingdom, look at Matthew chapter 25, verses 21, talking about the talents, how we are to not just store them or hide them, but we are to use them for God's honor and glory. So let's now look and see how those who bear evidence to their growing faith will persevere and be assured of their eternal salvation even as their death approaches. And Peter knew death was approaching him. He knew it was going to be soon, and that's what he was relating here, to make preparation and making sure that the people that were listening, the readers, and the people he was trying to reach out to understood that he would be leaving, he would be departing, and the same as Paul said, you know, that I'm departing from here, absent from body, present with the Lord. So let's look at, first of all, spiritual vision. So we all have physical vision, right? And we can only probably see so far. If you look over the horizon, you can see up to 10 miles. But if you look up into space, you can see billions of miles, a lot of years away. But on a horizontal plane, looking over the earth, your visibility is probably around 10 miles at the most, with other obstacles and things. But in spiritual vision, God gives us the insight how that we can see far beyond our own capability. We can look into the spiritual word of God, and it gives us spiritual vision of how Jesus honored and obeyed everything of the Father. And the disciples learned it the hard way because they weren't always paying attention. They were either sleeping or something was going on in their life when Jesus asked them to pray. But Jesus still was respectful to them and said, you know, the body is willing, but the spirit is, I mean, the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. So we all run into those situations in our life as well. So as we look at the spiritual vision, let's look first of all at verse 8. Now, we have just been instructed to cultivate a vital faith in Jesus Christ. And I read those virtues a while ago. And knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love, love. Now, if we make these characteristics continually or increasing in our lives and being fruitful, then verse 8 here is the promise if we do that. It kind of aligns up with the Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23, where it gives us the fruit of the Spirit. And in actuality, this is a characteristic of the fruit of the Spirit that we are to follow. So look at with me at verse 8. Verse 8 says, for if these qualities, now he's talking about verses 5 through 7, if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you can also go back and read verses 3 through 8 as well and see what God's precious promises are about. Paul talks about the precious promises in verses 1 through 8. And I'm reading 8 through 15 this morning. So the precious promises come to the believer as we meet the characteristics listed here in verse 5 through 7. And I would encourage you today to go through and read those and say, okay, which one of these do I really need to work on in my own life? Which one am I weak in? Which one am I strong in? And always concentrate on the positive fruits of the Spirit or the positive things listed here in verse 5 and through 7, because if you dwell on the weaknesses of your in your life, it's going to pull down the positive things that you are doing. So you want to bring the weaknesses up in our life of our spiritual growth to bring them up to the same level as the things that you are really strong in the characteristics of what Peter's talking about here in verses 5 through 7. So if these characteristics are not ours, if we're not practicing these, Peter says in verse 9 that we will reap two negative results. And that's what it says here in verse 8. So follow along with me in verse 9. For he who lacks these qualities. Okay, he talked about the qualities in verse 8. Now, Peter's saying, for he who lacks these qualities is blind and short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. Now, that's the negative thing that Peter would be saying. Now, the positive things in verse 8, if we're doing each one of these, then we're fulfilling the promises, the preface promises from verse 3 through 8 that God has promised each one of us if we fulfill and we become stay obedient to the precious things here he listed, which was virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Now, we who are united in Christ need to remind ourselves continually that we belong to Jesus. And see, if we need help in any of these areas, all we have to do is just go to him and say, Lord, you know, I'm slack. I'm lacking a lot of obedience in this area. I'm not fulfilling my responsibility, so I need your help. And Jesus will help you. And we are to choose to live for his glory. So by studying the scriptures daily, and that's how we know if we're growing spiritually, if we're reading the scriptures, if we're in the Word of God studying, then we will grow. If we're not, we're not growing. So the scriptures, communing with the Father and the fellowshipping with his children, we can avoid losing our spiritual identity. And that's something you don't want to lose. You know, a lot of people don't want to lose their identity out in the world because things happen that's not good when we lose the identity, because it can be costly and damaging to one's person. But we don't use our spiritual identity as well, because it is precious in the sight of God. So, and the way that we do that is by gaining eternal insight, that eternal vision, that spiritual vision that we're talking about right here, so that we can see into heaven, you know, looking into heaven. We can only visualize. We can't comprehend the full spectrum of the glory that we will be seeing one of these days. And we should be excited about that. We should have joy in our hearts knowing that we will see that one of these days, so that we can see into heaven and grow spiritually, which manifests itself in faith, virtue, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love in verse 5 and 7. And you say, well, Pastor Mike, why do you keep repeating those over and over and over? Well, in order for us to retain those and remember, these are very important for our lives, our Christian lives, so that we might grow spiritually. And that's the vision, the spiritual vision that we should be looking for and using in our life to honor God. Now, secondly, spiritual growth is very important. That's in verse 10 and 11. So verse 10 is a call for diligence in seeking to grow in Christian graces. Now, Christian graces, again, I mentioned Galatians chapter 5 verse 22, verse 23. Those are the what I would call the nine fruit of the Spirit, are fruit of graces. God extends grace to us. And then as we learn those and practice and apply those to our lives, then that's how God is extending His grace to us even more in our daily lives. And Paul says in Romans chapter 6, verse 1, shall I sin so more grace will abound? And then he answers that himself by saying, no, I shouldn't even think about that, because God extended grace to me through salvation, and now He's extending grace to me each day of my life as I grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. So we are to grow continually in the knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what I preached on last Sunday. And those are the very important parts of the Christian life. So now, in verse 10, it says, therefore. So, you see, when he says therefore, that's a carryover. That's things that we've already read and studied here in the previous verses. So he's saying, okay, all right, now that you know this, therefore, brethren, be all the more diligent to make certain about your calling and choosing. Okay? Our calling is to salvation, because God has chosen the world to be saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believed. Okay? So He's calling, if we believe, because He has chosen everyone to receive salvation, that will accept and acknowledge the Son going to the cross, dying for their sins. So that's what Peter is talking about right here. Because he called us and he chose us. For as long as you practice these things, you will never stumble. Has any of you ever stumbled? I mean, in the physical life. Yeah, we stumble and sometimes we fall, right? Well, Peter is saying here, if we practice these virtues and all of these things that's listed in verses 5 through 7, if we practice them and yield our life through the power of the Holy Spirit to the Lord Jesus Christ, we will not stumble in your spiritual growth. That means you're inclining. You know, even if you're going uphill and it's hard and difficult, you're still growing. Now, if you turn that around, you're going downhill and you're going at a rapid speed, then you're going to stumble, right? That's how it works in the physical life, and that's how it works in the spiritual realm of God. So it's very important that we understand that and know it. So we are to be, I'm going to say, zealous, diligent about the certainty of our spiritual growth. I mean, we got to say, yes, I know I need to grow, and not only do I know, but I'm going to grow in my spiritual life. I'm not going to neglect that. So it is with a Christian walk with the Lord. When we keep our eyes upon Jesus, following Him and practicing diligently the basics of the faith, we need not fear going astray, or what Peter was saying, stumble. So we're not to fall away from the relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're not to fall away from our gathering together as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, because even more as a day is approaching of Jesus coming back, and that's what the writer in Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25 said, that forsake not your assembling together, but all the more as you see the day of the Lord approaching. And that's Hebrews chapter 10 verse 25. And we need to remember that, because that day is approaching. It's getting closer and closer. I mean, you can just acknowledge, or you can just see the prophecy being fulfilled that Peter and all the disciples and the prophets talk about on a daily basis. You'll find it here in the Word of God, but you will not find it in the newspaper. You will find it in a lot of the books written around the Bible, but about Jesus coming and the prophecy and the things that we're seeing, the things that are unfolding in our life, they are happening just as we breathe. Just as we breathe. So in verse 11, it teaches that God abundantly responds to man's diligent faithfulness. He will respond to you. He will come to your aid. That's where He wants us, and that's where He will meet us when we are diligently faithful to Him. And in verse 11, it says, For in this way the entrance... Now, he's talking about entrance. Now, he's talking about into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, will abundantly supplied to you. Now, the entrance. He's talking about one of these days as we enter into the kingdom of God. That's what he's talking about right here. Peter knows that he is getting close. And that's why he is saying, okay, I'm closer than you are. So take heed and listen, because this is very important. He says, if this is the last thing I say to you, or is this the last thing that you hear from me, please take note. It is valuable for your spiritual growth. So if you and I do these things, we're not only a fruitful in this life, hear me again, if you and I do these things, the things that Peter's talking about, verses 5 through 7 and 8 through 15, if we do these things, we not only will be fruitful in this life, but we will be abundantly rewarded. Rewarded. Paul talks about that. Now, he was looking forward to that. He said, not only me, but those who love the Lord. So this shows that we love the Lord if we're willing to practice and apply these things to our life. So the believer who follows God steps for spiritual growth will find God abundantly supplying him with all the needs to grow. Not only will God supply his faithful followers with abundant spiritual empowering on this earth, and what Peter is talking about, they will be astonished at the graceful reward awaiting in heaven at the end of this earthly journey. If you read Matthew chapter 25, verse 46, it's in line with what Peter is saying right here. Matthew 25, 46. Now, lastly, trustworthy teaching. Trustworthy teaching. Peter is doing trustworthy teaching here. Pastors do trustworthy teaching. Prophets did. Any church leader does. Sunday school teachers do. Discipleship teachers do trustworthy teaching. And Peter saying, I am trusting in the Lord. He is giving this message through me to you. So I am being trustworthy. I am teaching you what God wants you to hear and what you need to hear. So in verse 12, Peter exhorts them to remember and obey what he has taught them. That's what Peter is doing. And again, he says in verse 12, therefore, the things that we've already talked about, this is continual. Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them. So we need to be reminded. Peter said, you need to be reminded. You need to know these things. So you may have them in the back of your mind, but they need to be out in the forefront so that you can see visually the spiritual vision of the things that is expected of you. So that's what Peter is saying right here. And have been established in truth, which is present with you. And Peter's saying, I can see it in you. So you need to keep it in the forefront, in the spiritual vision of your life, in spiritual growing. And now he's talking about trustworthy teaching. He said, I'm being faithful to the Lord. I'm teaching you exactly what he has spoken to me to teach you. Therefore, I am being trustworthy. And you can trust what I'm saying is not from me, but it is from the Lord. So when you see that word therefore, it links this verse with what has been said already. Our faith was established when we believed the truth and received Jesus Christ as our Savior. That's when it started, and it will continue. So where Peter says all of these things, verse 5 through 7 again, don't forget about that. These things are, I will call them characteristics. See, we are made in the image of God. We don't look like God, but the characteristics of our spiritual being is to be like God. And that's why he said, we are made in the image of God. The spiritual characteristics of the things that Peter is talking about right here. The characteristics grow out of our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's how it happens. And see, we're not alone there. The Holy Spirit helps us to do that. We are called to walk daily, and we are all dependent upon our relationship with Jesus Christ as our Lord. First of all, he became our Savior, and now he is to be the Lord of our life. And when he is the Lord of our life, then he has us in the palms of his hands, and he will carry us through to the end. So, and now in verse 13 teaches the leader's duty to stir up. So that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to stir you up and get you to see the spiritual vision that is there from the Word of God that you can see, that you can behold and you can hold in the depths of your heart and carry that in your life. So in verse 13 it says, verse 13, yes, I consider it right, Peter says, as long as I am in this earthly dwelling, to stir you up by the way of reminder. You see, he said, I'm in my earthly dwelling right now, and I'm not always going to be in this body or in this tent. But while I'm in this tent, in this body, in my temporary state, then it is my responsibility to remind you of the things you already know and have, and to continue those things in your life. So Peter personally knew the light of attending this common among the followers of Christ when he could not watch and pray for an hour himself, as I mentioned earlier. If you want to read about that, look at Mark chapter 14, verses 37 through 42, where Jesus went ahead and prayed. He took Peter, James, and John ahead with him. He said, stay here, lest you be tempted. So pray. And when you're praying, you won't be tempted, because God, you have God's undivided attention. He is listening to you. Therefore, you won't be pulled away by temptations and think about other things other than praying. So therefore, Peter's intent in proclaiming the word was to refresh. And literally, that means to keep on refreshing. We need to keep on refreshing. So physically, we keep ourselves refreshed, right? We do that by getting cleaned up, washing the dirt off, and taking showers. So you may take 2 or 3, 4, 5 showers a day, but you keep refreshing yourself so you will feel good and clean and motivated. And that is what we're to be doing in our spiritual life as well. Now, in verse 14, we're getting close here to the end. Verse 14 says, Peter expresses the temporary nature of this earthly life. Now, he's talking about himself, but he's talking as a whole to everyone, that, you know, whatever you're going to do for Christ, do it now. Do it today. And Peter knows that all the more, and all the disciples, when they seen Jesus go back into heaven, oh, it dawned on them. Oh, my goodness. Now I realize what Jesus was talking about when he says, you must, whatever you're going to do. Because he said, work today, for the night is coming. Jesus said that. Work today. And that's in John chapter 4. That work today, for the night is coming where there will be no work. And Peter knew that. That his departure was coming soon, and whatever he's going to do, he needed to do it then and now. And he's impressing and reminding them exactly that's what they need to do as well. Now, in verse 15, Peter states that he wrote to provide a permanent reminder of Jesus' teachings. That's what he's saying right here in verse 15. This is the last verse. Now, he says, and I will also be diligent that at any time after my departure. Now, he's talking about his departure. He was talking about the entry. Have you noticed how he talked about the entry before he talked about the departure back in verse 11? In verse 11, he's talking about the entry. Now, he's talking about departure. So, in order, you know, when you pass from this world, you depart before you enter, right? But Peter is talking about the entry. He was wanting to encourage the people to understand, hey, look at the rewards that you're going to be receiving when you enter heaven. So he wanted them to think about that, not the departure. Because his the entry would come later, and that would be his reward for all the things he'd done on behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now he's talking about the departure. You will be able to call these things to mind. Had he heard that before? Certainly he did, because he heard Jesus himself say that. If I don't go to the Father, back to heaven, then the Holy Spirit will not come. But when the Holy Spirit does come, he will teach you all the things that we have done, the miracles and the signs and the teaching I have given you. You will be reminded of those things, and you will carry those out. And that's what Peter is saying right here, that after my departure, you will be able to call these things to mind. You see, Peter was listening that day, wasn't he? He was listening, and he recalled what Jesus said. Now he is passing this information on to the people so they can grasp it and understand it. So looking at your inheritance is laid up before you depart. It's already there. It's intact. Your rewards are already there. The things that you're doing for the Lord are already being stored up and will be there when you arrive. From this life, as you enter the life of Jesus, the Christ-likeness, and I'm saying here and now and forever. So in conclusion, please, please notice as we close, two words used to convey our earthly departure and our entrance into heaven. Those are very important. See, our entry was mentioned in verse 11, departure in verse 15, and the entering into heavenly inheritance occurred in verse 11 before our departure in verse 15. Before we depart this life, our heavenly inheritance has already been established. It's planning ahead, right? Just like you do in this life. You plan ahead. You're paying forward in life what you're going to reap when as you get older and older and older, as your retirement or anything. Now we're paying ahead. We're doing the things of the Lord, as Peter's talking about here, verse 5 through 7, that we're paying it ahead. Whatever we're doing for the Lord, he has taken notice, he has written it down, and all of that is going to be waiting for you when you get there. But the rewards are not for us, they're for Jesus. It's what we have done for him, and we will lay them all at the feet of Jesus. For those who grow in the seven representatives Christ-like characteristics, again, verse 5 through 7, their interest into the kingdom has abundantly been supplied. Now, I want to leave you with this. 'Fight the good fight, as Paul says, of faith so that all Christ desires to give you will be eternally yours. You won't have to be ashamed. You won't say, well, I wish I'd done this. I wish I'd done that. Well, do it now and today, because tomorrow never comes. Our entry has already taken place. It's being prepared for. And when Jesus was ready for Peter to come home, he was busy up to that point, teaching everything he was told to do, instructed by Christ. Throw it into a pond, it'll still make a ripple, right? Well, that's what we do. We make ripples in them as a reminder of the things that they have been taught. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day and thank you for your blessings and thank you for this message from your word. And I pray that we all take it to heart. And the things, Lord, that we can't remember, don't remember, they're all right here. We can go back and reread and read, and the Holy Spirit will help us to remember. And we can receive those things within our hearts that we might live out these virtues and characteristics of all the things that make us grow spiritually. And whatever the call is today and whatever the need in each one of our lives, may it be not made known tonight, today, right now, as we sing our closing song, our invitation. And let it be for your honor and glory. In Christ's name, I pray. Amen.